We're holding on Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the second line. We talked in the Mishnah, we started talking about the case where you have two partners who own a chotzer jointly, and they've made a neder not to have hanah from each other. So the Tanakhama had said that neither one is allowed to go into the chotzer, and we had the long discussion about why that, about first of all, we said, and as we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon, that we're talking about the chotzer is too small for them to split up between them. If it was large enough for them to split, then they just split it, and that's that. So then we discussed the whole matter that, so the Tanakhama says they're also to go into the chotzer, because then they're going to be having hanah from one another, whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that they're allowed to, because he would hold yesh breira, he would hold that we can say each time that the person is using the chotzer, then it means that he's, so we had a long discussion. We discussed yesterday at great length what the Ram discusses about what it means, yesh breira, in this context, given that in other places in Shas, the implication is that in things d'oraisa, we say ein breira. There is, in fact, an explanation, which I didn't mention yesterday, that we can say, that we, the Gemara does say there in Beitza, that there is breira in things d'rabbanon. We can argue, if we say that each of them going into the chotzer is only a matter of vitur, is only a matter of, it's not something, the kind of thing that most people would normally consider a hana, it's the kind of thing that's a minor hana, which we said before, Rabbi Eliezer says, is also, that the other chachamim say is mutter, we might say it's also only d'rabbanon, and in that case, then we're dealing with something d'rabbanon, and we can say yesh breira. But we discussed at great length various other possibilities on it, the Ramban's shitta, that breira over here means something different than it does in the rest of Shas, that it means that each one, when he's using it, then it belongs exclusively to whatever part of him, whatever part he's using at that moment belongs to him. The Ran pointed out that doesn't like that and says that in effect what it means is neither one has the right to ask for the use of the chotzer on the other, and therefore in effect what we say is each time one of them is using it, it's considered as though during that time it belongs exclusively to him. We discussed yesterday various nafkaminas from all of that. Anyway, the Mishnah said neither of them is allowed to put up millstones or have chickens in the yard or millstones or an oven or to have chickens in the yard. And here also you have a couple of different reasons why that would be, whether that's because that's the kind of thing that most people are not machbid on in one another, but nevertheless it's vitur, and again vitur is also by mudr hana, or in fact because it is something that people are machbid on and therefore it would be considered real hana. And there's also an idea that Tosfos says that neither one can use the entire chotzer. So it's one thing when each of them is walking through the chotzer, fine, he's only walking through half of it, but when he's putting up millstones over there, where then many people are going to come in to grind grain, or he's putting chickens which run all over the yard, then in effect at any given time he's using the entire chotzer, and that would be a problem. So that's where we're up to in the Mishnah. We're in the middle of the Mishnah. To clarify, by the way, one thing I said a little wrong. What the Ramban says about Breira over here, he says that to begin with, when he's using the chotzer, he's only using his part. And with normal Breira is, as we said yesterday, you have something, you don't know whether this particular thing is in one status or another until you actually designate it as such. So the question is, do we say that retroactively that's the one that was meant to be designated as such all along? Here the Ramban says actually that Breira here means something different, that it means each one when he's using, in effect we consider that he's using only his chelek, and then we have the Ran says that each one when he's using it, at that time he is the exclusive owner of it. Continues the Mishnah. Now, suppose that only one of them was mudr hanah from the other. So till now, we're talking about that Reuven and Shimon have each made a neder not to have hanah from the other. Which, by the way, we're going to talk about in the Gemara. Whenever you have somebody as mudr hanah, you can always have two possibilities. You can have, for example, why is Reuven also to have hanah from Shimon? Is it that Reuven himself made the neder and said, I won't have hanah from you, Shimon? Or is it the other way around? Is it Shimon said, you, Reuven, are also to have hanah from my nechasim? or to be exact, okay, you'd have to be saying, my nechasim would be osir to you, Reuven, because of course a neder goes on the object, not on the person. Anyway, we're going to talk about a detail involving that in the Gemara. But anyway, continues the Mishnah. Suppose that now only one of them is mudra hanah from the other. So Reuven is osir for whatever reason to have hanah from Shimon, but not reciprocally. Shimon is mutra to have hanah from Reuven. Lo yikonis v'chotzer. So then that one, Reuven, is not allowed to go into the chotzer. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Yochel Huloy Malayin, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that no, here also, Reuven can say, L'serch Shali Ani Nichnas, I'm only going into my portion, Ani Nichnas, L'serch Shalcha, I'm not going into your portion. We have the various explanations that we discussed before, what that would mean. Does it mean like Tosfos that literally he's only going through part of a chotzer? Or does it mean that at this point a chotzer belongs? Or does it mean that to begin with, when they made the shutfos, the understanding was that each one is using only his portion, or was there the Ramban, was the Ramban's point, or the Ran's point that we would say each time one of them uses it, he for that moment is the exclusive owner of the chotzer. Whatever the case, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, therefore that's mutter. Now, there's no real chiddush in these two lines of the Mishnah, because if we already had that was the case with both of them, a mudr hanah from one another, all the more so when only one of them is mudr hanah from the other. The reason why we're mentioning it is as introduction, by way of introduction to the next words, which is a chiddush. We say the koyfin as a noder limker as selka. Now we do force the noder, we do force the one who made the neder to sell his portion of the chotzer, because Why would that be? So the Ran explains like this. We just said that neither one of them is allowed to put up millstones or have chickens or whatever in this chotzer. But what's going to happen in that? So now you have, so Reuven is also to have hanah from Shimon. Therefore, he is the one who's also to do that, to put up millstones or an oven, etc. Meanwhile, Shimon is mutter too, because Shimon is not mutter hanah from Reuven. What's going to happen though? What's going to happen? Reuven is going to see Shimon putting up millstones over there. He's going to think to himself, well, why should Shimon have the right to do that? And I shouldn't. I own the chotzer jointly with Shimon as well. So if he can, then I can. Well, then he's going to be over on having hanah from Shimon, and therefore he's going to be over on this net. So the Ram says that is why we don't want that. Therefore, we force him to sell. We force him to sell his portion of the chotzer, because in order that he shouldn't be nichshol, in order that he shouldn't end up being over on the hanah. When both of them are mudr hanah, one from the other, each one is going to be careful with his part of the iser. Therefore, and after all, neither one is allowed to put up millstones or anything over there, as we said. So therefore, there's no jealousy, and neither one is going to get careless with their part of the net. So actually what the Ran says, according to the Chachamim, the vote would be, the Chachamim even said that you're not even allowed to walk into the Chotzer. Only Rav Elazar ben Yaakov allows it, because he's saying, L'serch Shalei Ani Nichnas. But even when it comes to walking into the Chotzer, so according to the Chachamim, we have to be concerned about that. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it's only that we have to be concerned about that he might start putting up millstones over there, figuring that if Shimon can do it, then I can do it as well. And the Ran goes on to say, well, then why don't we say, so look, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, both Reuven and Shimon are allowed to walk in the chotzer, so there's no jealousy over there. So why don't we say that fine? Given that partners are able to prevent one or another in general, even without nedarim. The halachas of shchenim and shutvim are that if two people own a chotzer jointly, each one of them can object to the other one putting up millstones over there, because that's a significant thing. They can say that brings a lot of foot traffic into the chotzer, it's noisy, etc., etc. So all Shimon has to do is tell Reuven, look, I don't want you to put up a millstone in the chotzer. So Reuven's going to be jealous. So what? He'll be jealous. If he then wants to avoid the jealousy by selling his part of the chotzer, fine. But why should we force him to sell it just in order to prevent him from being over on the nether? So the Ran answer is because the fact is, most of the time, even though lahalacha shutfim are entitled to be moicha on each other for this, usually they don't. So therefore, Shimon would find it beneath his dignity. He would find it embarrassing to go and say to Reuven, you know what, I want to be picky about this. I don't want you to put up millstones in our joint chatzer. So therefore, there's a real possibility that Reuven may put them up, and then he's going to be over, and then he's going to be over on the neck. So therefore we force the Noider to sell his portion, in order that he doesn't end up being over on the Neder. Now in the Gemara, we're going to discuss the difference exactly again. Who is it that initiated the Neder in the first place? Is it Reuven said, I'm not going to have Hanav from you, Shimon? Or is it the other way around? Is it Shimon that initiated it and said, you, Reuven, are also to have Hanav from me? We're going to discuss in the Gemara about that. And we'll see, actually, the Rambam says that now the Yerushalmi over here actually learns differently than our Gemara, and says that actually the one who said to the other one, you are usher, in this case, in other words, if Shimon were to tell Reuven, you are usher in my nechasim, then we would actually force Shimon to sell his part of the property, whereas from the Gemara, as we're going to see, the implication is more that Reuven is the one who is usher to. So the Ran and the Raivad and everybody asks on the Rambam, how could he say that? So one answer is, in fact, the Rambam sometimes will do that. Sometimes when we have something that, even though we usually say the halacha is like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi, there's a significant number of places where the Rambam actually passes like the Yerushalmi, at least if we can kvetch it in somehow into the words of the Bavli. And this may be one of those examples. It's interesting, by the way, that the Rambam, one of the first sforim he ever wrote, we know his famous Sfarim, we know Pirush HaMishnayos, we know Yad HaChazakah, we know Mor Nevuchim. One of the earliest Sfarim that he wrote, which actually wasn't preserved, we only have fragments of it that were found, was he took the Yerushalmi and did to it like what the Rif did to the Bavli, which is to take the discussion of the Gemara and get out of it and digest it down and get out the bottom line practical halacha without all the give and take. That's what the Rif did for most of the Gemara Bavli, so the Rambam did it for the Yerushalmi as well. We call it the Hilchos HaYerushalmi. So most of it has been lost. There's only fragments of it have been published. But it seems that Rambam had a certain affinity for the Yerushalmi, and therefore you have in some places where, in fact, he likes to paskin like it as long as it doesn't necessarily overtly contradict the Bavli, at least. Anyway, so in this case over here, so the Ran and most of the Rishonim learn that it would mean that Reuven, who is the one who is also in Hana, would be required to sell his portion of the chatzer in this case in order that he doesn't end up being nichshol. According to the Rambam, it would actually be, if it was Shimon who initiated the neder and told Reuven, you are also in my nechasim, then in fact it would be Shimon whom we would force to sell his portion of the chatzer. We did have an interesting point that this may, there are no sekelim on the Rambam that talk about. Udu in the Masechta, we had a discussion about, for example, if a husband puts his wife under a neder, and then the wife is over on it, who gets malchus for being over on the neder, the husband or the wife? So the Rambam learned over there that the husband is the one, because he's the one who calls the Isser, rather than the wife, even though she's the one who actually did the Isser. So that, whereas the Rambam disagreed with that, so they could be going, well, she taught them. And the Rambam who holds that the one who caused the Isser to be in effect is the one whom we hold responsible. Therefore, in this case, he'd be the one he'd say that's the one who has to sell his portion of the chatzer, whereas the Rambam who holds that the one who actually violated the neder in that scenario over there, the wife, is the one who's chayav malchus, then he would say over here also, you can't force Shimon, even though he initiated the neder, he's not the one who's also, Reuven is, therefore be Reuven, whom we would require to sell his portion. Okay. The Mishnah goes on. Hoya echad minashuk mudur b'echad me'emano. Suppose that there's somebody, now, so far we've been talking about where Reuven and Shimon are also to have anah from each other, or only Reuven is also in Shimon, but not vice versa. What about, hoya echad min ashuk mudur ve'echad mehem anah? Suppose now that you have Levi, somebody from out in the street, somebody who's not an owner of the chatzah at all. He is mudur hanah from one of the people who owns the chatzah. So Levi is under a neder of hanah, is under a neder not to have hanah from Reuven, let's say. So, Loy Yukonis Lachotzer, so he's not allowed to go into the Chotzer, say that says the Tanakama, for the same reason as before, because then he's having Hanah from the portion of the Chotzer that belongs to Reuven. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov again disagrees and says, Yochol Loy Maloy, again, Levi can say, L'sof Shochabercha Ani Nichnas, I'm only going into your friend Shimon's portion. I'm not going into your portion. So you don't worry about it. I'm not receiving hana from you in any way. So now, again, the Ran explains that there's no chiddush in this according to the Tanakhama. Certainly, if Shimon can prevent Reuven from walking through the chotzer, all the more so that he can prevent Levi, who's coming to visit Reuven, from walking into the chotzer. The chiddush is that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that even not only can he not prevent Reuven, who's a co-owner of the chotzer, from going in, he can't even prevent Levi, who's not even part of the chotzer at all. Nevertheless, he still can't prevent him from coming in, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Actually, the Ran says that maybe even this part could be even according to the Chachamim. We'll discuss it further on. Then he brings an interesting thing he brings that the Rashba understands and says that this would only be, now when would we say Levi would have the right to come in, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, only if he's coming in because he and Reuven have some business one with another. So it could be that Levi needs something from Reuven, could be that Reuven needs something from Levi. Then, whatever the case, when Levi comes in, it's somehow connected with Reuven, therefore it should be allowed. But if he was just to go in Stamazoi without specifically going in for Reuven's sake, then in fact it would be Osir. Because we haven't made a kinyan on the chotzer. Fine, we made a kinyan on the chotzer when we first bought it, that each of us can use it, and that anybody who needs to come in who has to do with one or the other of us, who needs to visit us for business or personal matters or whatever, fine, but not stand for strangers to come in. On the other hand, the Ran says the Ra'a, who was a colleague of the Rashba. They both lived in the same city, Barcelona, and they argue in many areas of halacha. So the Ra'a argues with that and says that Levi would be able to come in even if it has nothing to do with Reuven. But the Ran says I disagree with that. Continues the Mishnah. Hamudr hanah mechaveh. Right, here's another din. Reuven is also to have hanah from Shimon. The yeshle merchatz ubeis habad miskorin ba'ir. Now, suppose that Shimon, from whom Reuven is also to have hanah, has a bathhouse where he has an olive press that in the city, but it's rented out to somebody else. So now, if it wasn't rented out, if Shimon was the one managing the bathhouse or managing the olive press, obviously Reuven would be also to have enough from it, no question. The question is that Shimon has rented it out to Levi. So now is Reuven still also to use that bathhouse or that press? Or would we say maybe not? Maybe now it's not considered Shimon's because Shimon is not the actual one managing it right now. So the Mishnah says, Im yeshloi bahen tfisas yad, so it depends. If Shimon has a tfisas yad, literally means that he has some place where his hand is grabbing a hold of, and we're going to see in the Gemara what that means exactly, but it means like he has a certain interest in the bathhouse still. We'll see exactly in the Gemara how much. Then it'll be also for Reuven to use that place, because then it's still considered that he's getting benefit from Shimon. But if he doesn't have tfisas yad mutter, then it'll be fine, because then even though the land actually belongs to Shimon, but Shimon doesn't really have a direct interest in the bathhouse or whatever, therefore it would be mutter. So we're going to discuss that point. We're going to discuss that point on Amud Beis. The Ran brings that the Rashba would say there's a difference when we say that if he has no tefisas yad, that then it would be mutter. That would only be talking about if it was rented before the neder ever took effect. If he made the neder and then rented it out, then in fact we would say that it would still be osur. Because the Rashba says the next case that we're going to have in the Mishnah involves, for example, a house that was sold. So we're saying only when it's sold, only when it actually changes hands, do we say the din changes, but not when it's just rented out, where it still, after all, belongs to Shimon. So therefore, the result would be, so if Shimon made the neder, it doesn't matter, again, whether Shimon made the neder that Reuven is Osir, or whether Reuven made the neder that he is Osir and Shimon, whichever it is, if then if at the time Shimon owned this bathhouse and was managing it himself, and later on he rented it out to somebody else, then the Ran brings from the Rashba that in fact he would be also, that Reuven would be also to have anah from it, regardless of whether Shimon still had a tfisas yad in it or not. Okay. Mishnah continues. Suppose that Reuven says to Shimon, "Koinam leveischa shani nichnas, a koinam that I that about your house that I, that if I go into it, meaning that meaning in effect, in other words, as we've had throughout the Masechta, that I that so it will be also that your house is also as a koinam for me to go into the sodcha shani lekeach, or your field is under a koinam to me that I won't buy it." So then, Ness, if now Shimon dies, Oshem, so now it's not his anymore, Oshem Mochre La'acher, or if he sold that house or that field to somebody else, Mutter, then it would be Mutter, because he said Lebeis Cha and Sod Cha, well, it's not your field or your house anymore. And by the way, the Ran adds the reason why. Now the same thing would also be true if Shimon gave it as a gift to somebody else. The point is, in other words, that it has to be that it was somebody else. If, for example, if Shimon owned this house and then he sold it to Reuven himself, then it would be also because then because Reuven is not allowed to have anah from Shimon, and when he's buying his house, he's having anah from him. So then it would be still be considered his house. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Koinam Bais Zeh Shani Nichnas. On the other hand, if he says, a Koinam, that I won't go into this house, Sada Zu Shani Lekeach, or he says, I won't go into this field, Mesa Shemach Ra'acha Osir, then even if Shimon dies, or even if he sells it to somebody else, it'll still be Osir, because he said, this house or this field, so it doesn't matter who it belongs to. The Ram says, in effect, he made it to Shabi Alechaticha di Isura, is the Gemara's usual expression for it. He made the object itself as an object of Isur to him. Which the Ran points out, by the way, there's kind of a chumra and a kula in one case versus the other. When he says beis cha, so we're saying once Shimon sells that house, then it will be mutter for Reuven to have anah from. However, what would happen if the house collapses and Shimon rebuilds it? Then it will still remain also to Reuven, because he said beis cha. So therefore, it's still Shimon's house. It's a new house. Doesn't matter. He didn't say this particular house. He just said your house. On the other hand, if he says bais zeh, so then we say even if Shimon sells the house, it's still osir. On the other hand, if the house falls down and the other person rebuilds it, then it'll be mutter, because not this house anymore. Now it's a different house. What about if he says bais cha zeh? What if he says this house of yours? Then the Ran says that then you're gonna have both chumras. So then you're gonna have that if he sells it, then you're still gonna consider that. The Ran says that then we focus on the zeh. Even though he said beis cha, we focus on the word zeh. So therefore, we would say that it would be the same thing as if he said bias zeh. We would say that if he sells it, it's still osir, but if it falls down and he rebuilds it, it would be mutter. So now let's start the Gemara. The Gemara says Iboilahu. So now the question is, in the first cases of our Mishnah, when we had in the first case, let's say, we started out saying Hashutfin Shanodu Hanah Zemizeh. They made a neder not to have Hanah one from the other. But what is the scenario? Benodru Pligi. So we can say that for sure we can say that they made that they're arguing when each one of them made the neder. So would that be only in that case? The question would be, what if each of them made the neder on the other? So in other words, you could have where Reuven said, I won't have Hanah from you, Shimon. And Shimon says, and I won't have Hanah from you, Reuven. Or you could have the other way around. Reuven says to Shimon, you are also to have Hanah from my possessions. And Shimon says, and you are also to have Hanah from mine. So, Hidiru Zeh Zemai. So what would be the din? Would there be the machlokas if each one of them put the other one under a net? Mia mina benodru hu depligi. Would we say that only when they themselves made the neder, then there would be the machlokas, and the chachamim would be machmer and say that neither of them is even allowed to go into the chatzar? But if one of them made the neder on the other, if Reuven says, Shimon, you are not allowed to have anah from me, and Shimon says, or the other way around, sorry, if Reuven says, Reuven says, Shimon, you are also to have anah from me. And Shimon says, Reuven, you are also to have anah from me. So neither one said the neder about themselves. They rather said it about the other person. They put the other one, they made the other one also in their property. So me I'm in Benodru who the plague, I'll be Diru Zasya, modulate a bonal of Lazman Yaakov. Maybe in that case when he did Zasya, when one of them said to the other that you are also have anah from me, maybe modulate a bonal of Lazman Yaakov, maybe the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Lazman Yaakov that each one is able to go into the Chatzar. And that would mean if we were to say that, we would say And so we would say to Kiyan Nusin Domu, we would consider that it's considered like they're under an oinus, because when Reuven says, I will be also in your chotzer, then fine, we can hold him to that. But when Shimon says, Reuven are also to have hanah from me and from my chotzer, and vice versa, so each one can be considered like an onus, therefore maybe even the Chachamim would allow it. And then we would say, basically the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold Yesh Breira. We would say, now we discussed on the Mishnah that there's a Gemara in Bava Kamma that says that where Ravina says over there that our Mishnah is based on the Machloikas in our Mishnah is based on whether we say Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. Do we say, let's say, for example, Breira usually means in Shas that we say you have something where the status of it is uncertain right now. Eventually, the status is going to be clarified. Do we say that status existed all along on that object? Again, we have the Ram's Shit there. We have the Ramban's Shit over here. That Breira here means something different than the rest of Shas. But let's go for the moment according to the Ram and everybody else who says it means the same kind of Breira. So in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Ravina says that the fundamental bachlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is whether Yesh Breira. The Chachamim are going to say Yesh Breira. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to say Ein Breira. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to say we can't say that now when each one uses the Chatzar, we can say retroactively this was his Chatzar all along, because we can't say that. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say Yesh Breira. So we can say right now when each of them is using his half of the Chatzar, we can say that all along that was meant to be his half of the Chatzar, and therefore that should work. So would we say that the Chachamim fundamentally are agreeing with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, saying Yesh Breira, but when the person himself made the nether and said, I will be also in your Nechasim, then fine, we'll say that we're going to penalize him after all. You had no business making such a nether, and therefore we're going to penalize him and prevent him from going into the Chatzar, even though he owns it jointly. But when the other person put the nether on him, then he's kind of an onus, so therefore maybe we shouldn't penalize him. So would that be the case? Or would we say the Chachamim disagree even when each one put the neder on the other one? Because it's not a matter of knas, it's a matter of breira. The Chachamim would hold ein breira. We can't say that now when each one uses only half of the chatzar, we can say that retroactively that was his half all along. The Chachamim, we would say, wouldn't hold of that concept, meaning we would understand our Mishnah like the way Ravina does in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, and say that the fundamental argument is yesh breira or ein breira. And based on that, we would say that the Chachamim would apply that across the board. If it's a matter of Breira, it's not a matter of penalty or not. So we'd have to apply it across the board, whether each one made the neder to be also himself, or whether each one had the neder imposed on him by the other one. So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, let's prove from later in the Mishnah. We have the case where one of them is mudr hanah from the other one. Only Reuven is also to have hanah from Shimon. And we still said that the Chachamim said that Reuven is also to walk into that chazer. Now mudr usually suggests that he himself has the neder imposed on him. So therefore, that would apply even when it's not Reuven initiated the neder. It's Shimon said, you, Reuven, or also to have anah from me, then we would still say that. So in that case, then that would be the answer. Even though Reuven is considered an onus, nevertheless, we would still say that it's also. So it's not a matter of knas, it's a matter of breira. The Gemara says, no, because not necessarily. Toni nodru mechaveri hana. No, because you could say that when the Mishnah says mudr hana, it really means nodru mechaveri hana. The word mudr could just as well mean where he himself is the one who initiated the nedr. The word mudr basically just means that he has a nedr, that he has a nedr in effect on him. Well, he can have the nedr in effect on him because he initiated it, or because the other guy initiated it. So there's no proof one way or the other from the wording of our Mishnah that we would say that shows that only if he's the one who made the that it would apply even if the other one made the nedr. And the Gemara says, "Hachi nami mistabra." In fact, it's logical to understand it that way. Jekatani safe of a kofenas and noder limker aselko. After all, the Mishnah continues that in that case we force the noder to sell his portion. So iamet b'shlema the noder who, if you say that it's Ruvain is the one who made the neder, I won't have hanah from Shimon. Okay, well then hainu jekatani kofen. Then we understand why would we force Ruvain to give up his portion, to sell his portion of the chotzer, because he's the one who made the neder. Therefore, we're going to penalize him, and we're going to tell him, like we said in the Mishnah, we don't want you to end up being over on your neder. You're going to see Reuven, you're going to see Shimon using this chotzer freely, and you're going to get jealous, and you're going to think that you can use it yourself, and then you're going to be over on your neder. So according to the Chachamim, even if he's just walking through it, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, only if he puts millstones or chickens or whatever over there. So if you say that he made the neder, then that makes sense. We say, listen, it's your fault. You made the neder. Therefore, now you're going to have to sell your portion so that you don't transgress your neder in the future. But if you say that it's Shimon imposed the neder on Reuven, am I kofer noso? Why would we be kofer Reuven? Why would we be forcing Reuven to sell? Hamenas onis, isn't he under an onus? And therefore, why should we be penalizing him and requiring him to sell his portion of the chaser so that he's not oinus? So now here's where the Ram says that our Gemara doesn't seem to fit very well with the opinion of the Rambam, who says that in fact, in a case like that, it would actually be Shimon whom we would be requiring to sell his portion because he's the one who caused, he's the one who brought about the situation of the Issa in the first place. Our Gemara seems to clearly imply that if anything, we're talking about whether Reuven is being forced to sell or not. And it's true, says the Ram. The Yerushalmi says this way, but the Bavli seems to disagree, and we generally follow the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. So again, you have the different explanations that they give to find for the Rambam. One of them is he does sometimes paskin like the Yerushalmi. And another one is that there's also maybe ways that you can make it work, that you can be doshik it to work with our Gemara over here. The Ran also adds though, he brings also from that Yerushalmi, now this that we're talking about, that our Gemara is saying that only Reuven would be the one we forced to sell his portion of the chatzar. Now what happens if Shimon is the kind of person who regularly does that? So suppose, for example, that Shimon has a chatzar jointly with Reuven, and then he has another one jointly with Levi, and another one jointly with Yehuda, and each one of them he goes over to and says, you are mudr hanah for me. At that point, then, we would in fact force him to sell his portion because two times already he brings from the Yerushalmi is enough. Because either be matir your neder or sell your portion. So that's the end of the discussion over here. So the Gemara has left unresolved the question of what the Chachamim of what the basis is for the Chachamim's opinion, and are they saying it applies only in the one case where Reuven made the neder, or does it apply in both cases where Shimon made the neder on Reuven, or where Reuven himself made the neder? The Ran brings, you do have something later in the parak, we're going to learn it tomorrow, Best Hashem, that there are certain things, we're going to mention it in the Gemara soon, actually, that you have when one person is mudr hanah from the other, or both of them actually are more mudr hanah from each other, they're also in certain things that are owned jointly by the community, for example, the shul. So that would mean even he did, because that's what we're talking about, the case where he says, you are also to have hanah from me, but he brings from Rabbi Yonah. The difference is that, because, one of them is under an onus, but the other one, in effect, is not. Each one has said, what you have actually is, the case in the Mishnah later on, is that Reuven says to Shimon, I am cheirem to you, and you are cheirem to me. So even though he's onerous in one way, but he's not onerous in the other, because the fact is both of them are usur, and you can't very well say that one of them is going to be mutter and the other one not. So therefore loy plug, and therefore the chum to say across the board that they're going to be usur. But it's different in our case over here, where each of them made a separate nether. Then you could argue that maybe the chachamim say one way and not the other. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabba Omer Ze'iri. Machloik. Now let's talk about what is the, again, we started with the case, we're talking about a chotzer that's owned by two shuktim. So we discussed in the Mishnah, and now we're going to discuss in the Gemara, what kind of chotzer are we talking about? So again, like we learned yesterday, you can have a chotzer which is large enough that you can split it, and each one will get a portion of that chotzer, and still considered and still functions as a chotzer. The minimum of that is that each one will have 4x4 amas plus an area in front of his doorway that he can use to unload animals or unload packages or whatever, kind of like a driveway. Now, the rule is it's 4 amas extending outward from the doorway by the width of the doorway. So if the doorway is, let's say, 3 amas wide, then he has a 3x4 amas. If he has that plus 4 amas of general use in the chotzer, and the other one will have the same thing, then that's a chotzer that has din chalukah. That chotzer is considered big enough in halacha that you can split it. Each one will have something that still functions as a chotzer, that can still be called a chotzer, and therefore they can, and therefore each one of them can force the other at any time to split it, and they'll each have their own portion. As opposed to an ein ba din chalukah, when the chotzer is too small for that, then neither one can force the other one to split it. And then, as we discussed yesterday, you have a Gemara in Baba Basra that talks about the question whether one of them can force the other one to say, either you buy out my portion or let me buy out yours, but we can't keep it like this. But that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara over here. What size chotzer are we talking about? So the Gemara says, Omer Rabba Omer Ze'iri. Machloikas sheyesh ba kidei chalukah. The machloikas in our Mishnah is when the chotzer is big enough to divide between the two of them. So each one of them is going to get their 4x4 amos. Each one of them is going to get their driveway. So therefore, in that case, since it's big enough to split, then the chachamim are going to say neither one should be allowed to use the chotzer. Ein brera. We're going to say the chachamim hold ein brera. So we can't say that when each one uses his part, then it's going to be considered that part or the whole thing or whatever is his. Because to begin with, when they first bought it and it was big enough that they could split it at any time, we can't say that there was any reason to think at the time that we should say it's ever going to have, that there's ever going to be a time when Reuven is allowed to use the other half. When they split it, he may not end up getting that part at all. And Rebbe Lezer, meanwhile, would say yes, Yeshvera, because to begin with, they meant that as long as they don't divide it, each one of them can use the entire chotzer. Abel, ein b'kadei chalukah, but if the chotzer is not big enough to split between the two of them, divrei hakol mutter, then Rabbah is telling us, then everybody would agree that it's mutter, because in that case, it's always going to stay in partnership. There's no way to divide it. So therefore, each one is going to have the ability to use it whenever he wants. Therefore, we're going to say yesh brera, because so this is going to be where the Ram says, referring back to what we learned on the Mishnah, the whole discussion over there about brera, this would be one of those cases we would say it's not a matter of the regular situation of brera. Here we're talking about that each one, when he uses it, is considered during that time to be the exclusive owner of it. Brera would mean that we would have to say, when we split it retroactively, was this part always meant to be yours? But here we're saying the chotzer is never going to be split because it's too small. Therefore, we would say the only brera we're talking about is when each one uses it, it's considered his for the time being. That's the Ran according to his own shita. And then again, we have the various opinions of the Rishonim on that point. But whatever the case, the point is that we would say that in that case they should both be allowed to use the chotzer. But the Gemara says, Omer Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef asks Rabba, Harid Beis HaKnesses, consider the shul in town. A shul is the equivalent of something that doesn't have a din chalukka, because everybody needs the entire shul. You can't say that that each one of them needs, you can't say that any one of them needs only half of the shul. Utnan, and we learn in a Mishnah later on, we have a case where two people are mudr hanor one from the other. To be exact, it's the case that that we just said that the Ran quotes from the Mishnah on Daf Memches, where one of them says to the other one, you will be also in me, and I will be hareini alecha cherem, hareini alecha v'atalai. You are cherem to me, meaning my nechasim will be also to you, and I will be also to you, and you will be also to me. So we said, so the Mishnah is going to stay there, bottom of Zayin Mem Beis, and the top of Mem Chesam and Aleph, that both of them are going to be also in the things that are owned jointly by the entire city. For example, the shul. The shul in the city. And the Mishnah says, Shnei and Asur and B'davar Shalai is their ear. Both of them are also to have anah from anything that belongs to the city, to the city collectively, including the shul. So the problem is, so now, what are we saying? You, Rabbah, are saying that when you have something that doesn't have today chaluka, everybody would agree that they're mutter to have enough. So you're saying if this chotzer is too small to split, then even the chachamim will agree that you're allowed to walk into it. Well then, that Mishnah about the shul is not going to be like the chachamim. It's certainly not going to be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because if he allows it even when it has din chalukah, and all the more so he allows it when it doesn't have din chalukah, then for sure, okay, the case of the shul is not going to be according to him. So who would it be according to? Mela, if you say they're arguing when there's no din chalukah, okay, so that later Mishnah is according to the chachamim, not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But if you say that they agree when there's no din chalukah, then who is that Mishnah going to be like? Rabbi Yosef says in the name of Zairi, machloikus she'ein bro kadei chalukah. Just the opposite. The machloikus is when the chotzer does not have kadei chalukah, it's not large enough to split it, that each one of them will be able to have their portion of it, then we would say that the chachamim are saying that the chachamim are saying each one can't use it. The chachamim say even then we would say ein brera. Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov would say that since this chotzer is always going to remain jointly owned by them until one of them sells his portion, then we can't say to begin with that they bought it with any intention of ever splitting it up. So therefore, Breira doesn't even come into it. We would say that to begin with, when each one uses it, it's entirely his chotzer. And again, you have, going back to the Mishnah, you have the various explanations that we said. Maybe we would say this is only a case that Rabbanan, and therefore we could say Yesh Breira, so the halacha may be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and still we would say that, and we would say Yesh Breira because it's only a din de Rabbanan, or maybe we would say that this is only a matter of Vitur, and Vitur maybe is Mutter, or we would say that, we would say that this is a special kind of Breira, etc., all the various explanations that we learned in the Mishnah. So when ein b'kadei chalukah, then there would be the machlokes. Aber yesh b'kadei chalukah. But if the chotzer is big enough to be split, then divrei hakol osur, everybody, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, will agree it's osur, because to begin with, when they bought it, you can't say that they bought it that each one is going to use the whole thing, because at any time one of them can tell the other one, you know what, I don't want to have the chotzer jointly anymore, let's split it. And they'd be required of the halacha to agree and to split it. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov would agree that it's also. So in fact, the Ran goes on to bring the Rashba, who says that what would happen is, if it has din chalukah and was saying they would be osur, even after they split it up, each one will still be osur, because then you have the problem of brera. Then you're back to the problem of yesh brera, ein brera, and you say then things are right, so ein brera. So therefore, the Rashba would hold that even then it would still be, so it has din chalukah. Reuven, they divide it up. Reuven takes his portion. Shimon takes his portion. But we still can't say, since we can't say at the time of the neder, we can't say retroactive to the time of the neder, this chotzer, the part that Reuven ends up with, is in fact his portion all along, because something daraisa, and we would say in brera. Therefore, the result is still going to be, says the Rashba, that each one is still going to be also to use the portion that was assigned to him. On the other hand, the Rambam holds that not. Once they split it, then each one can have his portion. And the reason would be because the Rambam says, because this would be in one of those things, Anam Sahadi, we function as Edim, meaning that it's an obvious, clear thing. When they first bought the chotzer jointly, neither one is going to be able to answer it to the other one in a way that it's going to be also permanently, even after they divide it. So according to the Rambam, therefore, and the Ran explains his position that therefore, in fact, once they divide it, each one will be mutter to have his portion, to use his portion freely. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, halacha k'Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, v'chein Amar Rav Elazar, halacha k'Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the halacha is like him. So even when the mudu hanam echaveray, if the chotzer is too small to split up, then each one of them can walk through the chotzer. Again, we said according to Tosfos, maybe only in part of it, but not the entire thing. According to everybody else, they could even walk through the entire thing. Because we would say each one has a certain ownership. Each one is using what belongs to him, not what belongs to the other one, based on principles of greater that we said before. But if it has din chalukah, then the din would be they have to split it up. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will agree to that. And according to the Rambam's understanding of it, which is then they would be each be mutter in their portion after that. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, we said if Reuven is also to have anah from Shimon, and Shimon has a bathhouse or whatever in town, so we said it depends whether he has tfisas yad. If he has tfisas yad, then Reuven is also to have anah from it. If he doesn't have tfisas yad, then Reuven is mutter. And as we said, the Rashba says that distinction would only be the case if it was rented out before the neder took effect. So they want to ask, but how much tfisas yad? How much interest in it is considered tfisas yad? Amar Rav Nachman, lemechza l'shlish v'lerviya. If he gets a percentage of the proceeds from the bathhouse, a half, a third, or a quarter. But if less than that, then not, because too little of it, less than that, less than a quarter is not considered tfisas yad. If he had, so the bathhouse makes, let's say, the profits from it, let's say $1,000 a day. So if Shimon is receiving at least 250 of that under the terms of the rental, then he's considered to have tfisas yad. But if he gets less than 250 out of 1,000, then that wouldn't be considered tfisas yad, and then Reuven would be mutter. A bunch of the Rishonim have the Girsa over here. The Ran, the Rosh mentions it, Tosfos mentions it, Mefarish mentions it, that the word is not Betsir, but rather Beitzim or Beitzin, with a Mem or a Nun, they both are a plural. In which case, what do we mean? Beitzim means eggs. So what are we talking about over here? So the Ran explains that when people had bathhouses, it was a customary thing that a person would have a bathhouse. Meanwhile, people would also come to buy eggs over there, maybe other groceries as well, but here we're mentioning only eggs. So therefore, the idea would be that if the only interest if the terms of the rental were that Shimon is not getting any of the proceeds from the bathhouse, but from the bathhouse itself, that people pay to come bathe over there, but people are selling eggs over there, and Shimon is entitled to the profits from that, that would not be considered tfisas yad. Because he's not getting anything from the bathhouse itself, only from these eggs. Then the Rosh and Tosfos mention, and the Rosh and Tosfos and the Mefarish mention a different idea. We find in a Gemara in Bava Metzia that it talks about Beitzim Shel Yotzer, which means potters are going to be making clay, are going to be making utensils out of clay. They're going to be making earthenware kaven. So what they do is they first form the clay into balls, which are called beitzim shel yotzer, and then they sell them. And then what they do is actually after they make them into balls, they dry them. And then they use those as the raw material to make plates and cups and things like that. So therefore, now often what they would do, these Mephoshim say, is they would dry those once a potter has made balls of clay like that. A convenient place to dry them would be in the bathhouse. Maybe the idea is you don't want someplace that's completely dry. You want someplace that has a certain humidity to it. I don't know, whatever that would be. The point is that they would sometimes do that in a bathhouse. So therefore, the idea would be, again, similar to the idea of selling eggs, the idea is this is not something of the bathhouse per se. This is something external where they happen to use the bathhouse as a convenient place to do this. So therefore, so Rav Nachman is saying that if Shimon's interest in the bathhouse is not, that he doesn't get any of the profits from the bathhouse itself, only that he gets from the eggs that are sold there, or from the potters who are drying out their bowls of clay over there, then that would not be considered that he has a tfisas yad, and therefore Reuven would be mutter to have anah from the bathhouse. On the other hand, Abaya Omer, I feel a bit botzer also. Abaya says even less. Again, if we have the gears of botzer, it means even if it's less than a quarter, even if he gets less than 25% of their proceeds, or if we have the gears of a beitzim, it means even if he's only getting the profits from the eggs that are sold there or the bowls of clay that are dried there, even so, that would be considered tfisas yad. It would be considered osur. Heichi domi deshari. So what would be the scenario where we would say he doesn't have tfisas yad and Reuven is mutter to have enough in the bathhouse? Demakabel b'taska. The case would be that the renter is paying him a fixed rent every year. So like this, in other words, there could be, you rent something and the deal is, we're not going to do a fixed rental. Whatever profit you make, you're going to give me a certain percentage of it. Like the way you have with fields, for example, you have an oris, you have a sharecropper where the arrangement was often made like that. So it could be also with a bathhouse or something like that that generates profits. You could make a deal like that. On the other hand, so that would be what we said, the maths of the Shlishvalerivia. On the other hand, Taska would be that he pays a fixed rent every year. So then in that case, now the owner of the owner of the property is not considered to have tfisas yad in it anymore. So that would be the case. Says Abaya, that would be the only case where Reuven is mutter to have hanah from the bathhouse. Now the Ran gets into a discussion. The fact is the goof of the bathhouse belongs to him. So still, how does he not have the ability to assert on Reuven? So first the Ran brings from Tosfos that you're right. If he were to say explicitly, my bathhouse is also to you, then yes, of course that would be because the fact is it is his bathhouse. But here we're talking, he just makes a neder generally, you are also to have a nar from my nechosim. So therefore, anything that he rented out is not necessarily, according to the Rashba, we'd say he rented it out earlier, is not considered to be part of his nechosim. Then we learned the other day, we talked about Hefker, and we drew a distinction within a Hefker between what he gave away, what he made a Hefker beforehand. But still, the point would be that right now, it's not in his Rashus, for Schirus, therefore, because he rented it out, therefore he doesn't have in mind to ask it. Then he goes on to bring, then the Ran goes on to bring from a bit of Tam that says maybe there's a difference between a Hefkish and other kinds of things. There can also be a distinction over here whether he already paid the rent or not. And he goes into a long discussion about the ins and outs of these various explanations. One point is, he points out that after all, what happens if the guy doesn't pay his rent? Then he gets evicted and it goes back to the owner. But as soon as he pays though, the other guy can't kick him out. So therefore he's not able to answer it. And he goes on to discuss the Rishonim on Falfel. They discuss in some length the ins and outs about this, about what kind of schirus would he be able to answer it and what kind not. So there's a lot of discussion about the ins and outs of that. What exactly would be considered that he's still considered to have a shibud or not? Then he ends up saying this that we said before. To go back to in the Mishnah, we had a case where echad min ashuk, where somebody from out in the street was mudr hana in one of them, and we said that he's allowed to enter the chotzer before we were understanding that that's only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We said actually the chiddush in it was only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now the Ran says the chiddush of that part could even be according to the chacham. It's one thing that a shutef is able, that a partner is able to answer to the other one because he's taking away his shibud. But when it comes to a chotzer, he can say, look, your friend still has the shibud, so I should still be allowed to. And nevertheless, the chum is saying that not. So that factors into this whole question of whether now, when Shimon is asking in the bathhouse on when Shimon is asking in the chosim on Reuven, or when Reuven is asking in the chosim of Shimon on him, whatever, would that necessarily include a bathhouse on which Shimon granted has a shibud? But would we say that the neder overrides the shibud or not? Or we said that the shibud overrides the nether, that would be part of this discussion of how much exactly of an interest and how much what exactly is it that Reuven, that Shimon is receiving from this bathhouse, that we would say that that therefore it's also to Reuven and when not. Okay, we'll continue with discussing more of the Mishnah and the Gemara on it tomorrow, Bez Hashem.